This is Matt from PureNintendo.com, and you are listening to the KoopaCast, PureNintendo.com's official podcast. Before we begin, I would like to thank Big Giant Circles for allowing us to use his music for our podcast. To hear more of his work, please check out iTunes.com/BigGiantCircles, or you can go to BigGiantCircles.com. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the KoopaCast, PureNintendo.com's podcast dealing with all things Nintendo. This is KoopaCast number 93. I'm your host, Matt, the Multimedia Manager, and I'm joined by Pure Nintendo's own Editor-in-Chief, Justin Sharp.
Hey, everyone, good to be here.
And as we always do in Season 4 of the KoopaCast, we're going to start the episode off with some news. It's been kind of a dry week for Nintendo and game news. Some announcements here and there, but like, you know, nothing really truly colossal. Well, I guess unless you consider the NES being re-released colossal news, then it's been a very colossal news week for Nintendo fans. But this isn't quite the NES that you grew up with. This is the NES Classic Edition, which is a Nintendo system that fits in the palm of your hand. It's going to retail for about $60, $59.99. Comes with one controller, HDMI cable, charge cord, or not charge cord, maybe call it AC cord?
AC adapter.
AC adapter, there we go. The thing you plug into the wall and then magic electricity comes out. But yeah, it only comes with one controller. You can get another controller for about $10. And unfortunately, if you've held on to those old NES controllers from your youth, you will not be able to use them in this new Classic Edition. But you will be able to use these Classic controllers and hook them up into your Wiimote, and you can play Virtual Console games that way. And then finally, the games. There's about 30 games in this one. I'm not going to go over everything. Obviously, you can check out the post at PureNintendo.com. But, you know, it's just quick highlights. You know, the Castlevania games are there. Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3. I didn't see Lost Levels in there, did you?
No, it wasn't in there. So I'm guessing it's the U.S. Mario Brothers 2.
All right. The U.S. Mario Brothers 2, only Mega Man 2. That's the only, out of the six Mega Man games that were released on the Nintendo Entertainment System, only Mega Man 2 is going to be making the cut, which I found, you know, kind of interesting.
Yeah, I wonder why they ended up picking that one. I'm guessing they worked with the third parties to see which one they wanted to select. Maybe Mega Man 2 sold more than the other five, so...
Perhaps, yeah, maybe. You got Ninja Gaiden on here, just the first one. Punch Out featuring Mr. Dream, so sorry for your Mike Tyson's fans out there. Ice Climber, Kid Icarus, Kirby's Adventure. I feel like I'm naming them all.
Yeah, there's still a few on name there, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll leave the rest up to suspense.
That's right. No spoilers. Go check it out.
Though I will say, it is interesting, I'm going to reveal one more actually, that Galaga was on here.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm.
And of all the systems that I've and devices I've played Galaga on over the years, like I never, like Nintendo, the NES never really jumps out at me. Like I see Galaga in like, you know, stand-up arcade machines, and then I had a copy of like a Galaga Galaxian combo pack for the Game Boy, but I never ever remember seeing Galaga on the NES.
Yeah, it's interesting. I noticed they had Galaga, they also had Gradius, which is another kind of arcade title that you wouldn't really associate with the NES. So, but I guess it's an interesting, they wanted to probably have some representation from some of those games from the arcade scene.
And so this is a pretty comprehensive list that we have here. But the question I want to ask you, Justin, and also to you, the readers who want to comment on our wonderful KoopaCast page, what NES games didn't make the cut that you would have wanted to see on there?
Oh, that's a good question. One of them, actually, that popped into my mind when I first saw the list was ice hockey. I don't know if you've played it before or any of the people listening, but I remember having a ton of fun with, Nintendo did several of those sports titles. I think they did one just called Golf and Ice Hockey, and they did a couple other ones, I think.
Yeah, there was, I remember Golf, Ice Hockey, Baseball, Tennis was another one.
Yep. And the ice hockey one I thought was great. I used to go to my friend's house and play multiplayer in that all the time. I thought it was really well done. So that would have been a fun sports title to include there. I know they had Tecmo Bowl, which, you know, is a pretty standard inclusion, but I didn't see a whole lot of other sports titles make the list. So it was kind of interesting. I know they have ice hockey on Virtual Console. I know both on the Wii and the Wii U, but that would have been one that I would have liked to see on there.
And you brought up a good point with the Virtual Console, but we'll come back to that in a sec. Yeah, the only other sports title I see on here besides Tecmo Bowl is Excite Bike, which you should be able to consider a sports title, I think.
Yeah, I would say it's not like a, you know, sports title in the vein of, yeah, baseball, football, you know, something like that. But it is a, you know, motocross, you know, type of simulator. So,
I'm trying to think of, like, maybe the list of games I have. And obviously, I feel like I missed out. I mean, my early childhood was the NES. But that means there's a lot of games that I just do not have that exist. So I look forward to maybe getting something like this and kind of filling in some of the blank spots in my old backlog.
Yeah, I think I'll do the same. I mean, some of these I remember playing, but some of them on the list, like I really didn't play a whole lot of Ninja Gaiden, and Star Tropics was another one that they have on the list that I didn't actually play on the original NES. So it'd be fun to visit some of those for the first time. But it would have been cool to see some others there. And then maybe, you know, you mentioned the Virtual Console, and maybe Nintendo will do something similar with this mini system in that they may have the ability to add future titles down the road. But we'll see.
I wonder how they're going to do that, because nothing I've read kind of indicates that this is an internet-capable device.
Yeah, it seems like hey, let's strip it down. I mean, for $60 and you know, it comes with the one controller, which is like $10. So a $50 system, I mean, yeah, it can't have too much tech built into it. It would be cool if it had some sort of an internet connection. You could make this like a virtual console system. I think that would be an awesome idea for Nintendo to combat piracy. But, I mean, even as it is, I think it's a good idea because people who have, you know, download emulators or ROMs or, you know, whatever else over the years, the pure nostalgia factor of being able to play on a classic controller and, you know, not with a keyboard and mouse or, you know, whatever mechanism they're currently using, I think it's going to do well. But
I think it was definitely a good idea to sell the controller separately, specifically for what you just mentioned there. Mm-hmm. Say you don't want to, you know, drop $60 on this device because, you know, all the games that are mentioned on this list, you already downloaded on the Wii or Wii U Virtual Console. You know, like I said, the NES controller that comes with this plugs right into your Wiimote. You can just boot up the Virtual Console and you can play, you know, you still get that same feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of alluded to this, but Justin, are you going to pick this game up? Are you going to pick up the system?
I'm a little on the fence with it, but, you know, when push comes to shove, I mean, for $60, I mean, it's the price of, you know, a modern day game. I mean, it's fairly compelling. I do hope that Nintendo gives us some sort of hint of what they might do to improve it or, you know, add content as time goes on, you know, to really turn it into like a day one purchase for me. But right now I would say I'm on the fence, but leaning towards picking it up.
All right. And I'd say I'm on the fence too. Maybe not as far to the other side as like leaning like you are. Mm-hmm. I think if anything, I'll probably just pick up the classic controller itself and just kind of, because I got a lot of NES games on my Wii U's Virtual Console, so you know, I feel like I could definitely take advantage of that controller.
Yeah, definitely. I could. I mean, even if I don't get the system, definitely the controllers, I think, would be awesome to play some of the VC games on.
Oh, definitely. I'd also like to take, just take a deep look at, you know, this NES machine. See, like, does the slot in the beginning work, or is it just decoration? Because I feel like that would be, if you wanted to do, say, like, what we were talking about with, like, here's another pack of 30 games, that's where I would put it. I'd put, like, a pack of 30 and, like, a little mini cartridge or whatever. And then you could just plug that into the system. And then there you go.
Yeah, it'd be pretty sweet if it's like an SD card slot, you know, hidden in there or something like that. You know, maybe you could even transfer for the people that have Virtual Console games already. Maybe you could transfer them to an SD card from your Wii or Wii U and then, you know, bring them over to the system. I do think they're going to have some sort of loyalty program in order to do that. I feel like this system is kind of a response to, hey, a lot of people don't have the latest Nintendo system. How can we get, you know, how can we give them like a gateway drug, you know, so to speak, you know, to get them back into Nintendo? And I think a lot of people that don't have the Wii U are going to pick this up. And then potentially if there's some small little upsell, like, you know, hey, if you get the Wii U and you download some Virtual Console games, you can transfer them over to the NES Classic Edition and get, you know, hundreds of games at that point. So I hope there's some sort of hook like that.
Yeah, definitely. And it looks like there's also a, what do you call it? Like, it's, they seem to like hint that there's like a checkpoint like system in these games.
But yeah.
Not quite up to what the quick save, quick load that we have now in the Virtual Console.
Well, yeah, it almost seemed like it might be an improvement. It seemed like I was reading that there might be multiple save states that you can have. And I don't know, this may be a rumor I was hearing, but it sounded like you might be able to transfer save games from the actual NES controller. So if you switched over to play the game on your Wii U, the save game that you played on the NES Classic Mini Edition would carry over, but maybe that's totally incorrect. But it sounded like an interesting idea to be able to, you know, take your save games just with that controller. So,
and we'll definitely see when this mini NES Mini Classic Edition releases on November 11th.
Yeah, we'll definitely have our full review and let you guys know if it's going to be worth picking up.
Which, this is something I never thought about until I read the date aloud on this podcast, but could November 11th be kind of like, or I'm sorry, is, and then maybe this is just me really reaching here, and, you know, I'll completely accept it if somebody calls me out and says, you know, you're really reaching. but it may be the NES Mini, or sorry, I keep calling it the NES Mini because that's just, that seems like that's the right name for it.
Yeah.
The NES Classic Edition. That's like, to me, that sounds like, here, we're sorry we cannot get the NX out in 2016. You know, please accept this retro console as like a consolation.
Yeah, it does feel that way a little bit. It's, you know, Nintendo uses that phrase, please understand, you know, quite a bit. Or at least I used to use that a lot. You know, I do think that it is a way for them to kind of have some mind share by having this system launch around the holiday. You know, they're not going to get totally lost with, you know, the new Xbox One S and, you know, any other games that might come out on PlayStation 4. So it's a way for them to maybe get some good publicity leading through the holidays and then say, hey, you know, a ton of people bought NES Classic Edition and maybe there's, you know, something that, you know, they have a bigger audience that they can glean from when the NX comes out. So, yeah, whether or not it was after the fact, Matt, you know, that you know, after they delayed the NX to 2017, they said, hey, we should put something into the holiday. You know, maybe they've been planning it for a lot longer, I don't know. But it was interesting.
Definitely. Moving on from, I guess, Nintendo console news. I feel like we have, like, recurring segments within recurring segments at this point. We have Nintendo console news, and then we're going to follow it up with some Pokemon Go news.
That's right, which is the hot item right now.
It is the very hot item, as thanks to Pokemon Go, Nintendo has broken the Japanese record as the most traded company a single day this century.
Wow. Yeah, I read that and I was just like, that is nuts. And you look at some of the other companies that had the previous records. And it was like a major electric company, SoftBank is a big bank there, and there was like a steel company, I think. So it was all companies that are, you know, fairly large and in completely different sectors than video games or electronic entertainment. So it was really cool seeing Nintendo even, you know, well above those.
Definitely. And to think it was like of all products, of all titles, it was, you know, something done. It was like, it was just Pokemon title, you know.
Yeah.
Between, like, Niantic and the Pokemon Company that, you know, that really skyrocketed it. And it's interesting because of two reasons. One, because, you know, this is Pokemon Company and Niantic. And two, because when you get right down to it, the Pokemon Go is just not a well-working app at all.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's still those frequent crashes. Their servers are down. The servers were down for me almost all day today.
Yeah, I was trying it out this weekend, actually, and it was down most of the weekend for me. Katie and I, my wife and I, we actually went to a baseball game, and I was eager to try it out at the baseball game. I was like, oh, you know, big major league, you know, baseball park. There's got to be, you know, some Pokemon or Pokestop or gym or something around here. And didn't work the entire time. So that was kind of a bust. But yeah, like you said, I mean, it's crazy that it's still, you know, raising their stock prices so much and it's having all these issues. So hopefully we'll get it resolved and, you know, maybe it'll lead to even more success.
And, you know, despite all those issues that we're having here, at least we have the game, unlike Japan.
Yeah.
They're still waiting for the game. In a statement to Forbes, CEO John Hank, or sorry, Niantic CEO John Hank stated that their server capacity in Japan is just simply not powerful enough to run this thing.
Huh, interesting.
They said they do expect to have Pokemon Go up at the end of the month. Some other people suspect that it could be closer to September. Either way, the game's not out. The countries that are out, of course, some of the major ones like, you know, United States, Australia, New Zealand. It just recently was released in Canada. 30 countries in the in Europe got it. Not 30 countries. 30 countries total have Pokemon Go. They just released for a whole bunch of countries in Europe also recently last week. Japan's going to be like, it looks like it's going to be one of the last ones to get it. Which is just terrible irony.
I know, because I think they were the first ones to get the beta, wasn't that right?
Yeah, they were one of the first ones to get the beta.
Yeah.
And if you really wanted to go back further in history, then they're one of the first, they're the first country just to get to see the Pokemon franchise.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, it was born in Japan, and now it's, you know, going to be last to get there.
And that has to be incredibly frustrating, especially from, like, a lot of those major metropolitan areas in Japan.
Oh, yeah. I think of the potential there in Japan, a lot of those big cities. I'm sure Japanese gamers are chomping at the bit to get their hands on it.
Absolutely, and especially considering the mobile market in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
This feels like an opportunity that just, you know, that just, like, wasted every single day that it's not out.
Yeah. Well, and think of, I mean, it's already out in some pretty major countries at this point, but I mean, it's really not out in any Asian countries at this point, right? It's not out in Japan, Korea, or China, right?
Right.
So, and I mean,
I don't expect it to be out in China anytime soon.
Right, yeah, I mean, this may be a few months down the road or something, but I mean, when you have over a billion and a half people, you know, in China alone, you know, I don't know how big their mobile market is there. I know it's gotten a lot bigger.
China's mobile market is huge, but mm-hmm. the rules for releasing a game in China is pretty nuts. You're definitely going to have an easier time of it as an internal developer within China, but like as a foreign developer going into China, then, you know, things probably get a little bit tough.
Yeah, so it'll probably be in Korea after Japan, South Korea, because I know South Korea, I mean, they've got, you know, amazing internet, some of the best internet per square mile in the whole world. So they'll definitely be hopping on and taking advantage of it.
Oh, so definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. And another big news about relating to Pokemon Go. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about Pokemon Go perhaps being like a gateway to get, you know, people who are not familiar to Pokemon back into Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And now I'm one of them. Pokemon Go, it was actually a combination between Pokemon Go and watching the Pokemon Red and Blue speedruns on SGDQ. I finally broke down and decided to download Pokemon X.
Hey, nice. Well, their strategy's working then.
Yeah, their strategy's definitely working. I had not played a Pokemon game since Gold. And technically, the only reason I got Gold was because my friend lent it to me like 5 or 6 years ago. Mm. So...
And that's an awesome one. Gold and Silver are still some of my favorite. That generation too is great.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, getting back into this new one, and it's exactly as horrifying as I thought it was going to be. Where I'm looking at all these mechanics and I'm just flabbergasted. Like, I have no idea what's going on. Like, what do these personalities mean? Uh-huh. You know, I just want some cool looking Pokemon, and thankfully that strategy seems to be working pretty well. I just got a bunch of cool-looking Pokemon, and I'm just wailing my way through the game.
Nice. Yeah, I hope, you know, I'm sure they're planning this for Sun and Moon's launch, but I could see some sort of tie-in, you know, trying to get further that strategy of, you know, hey, people are getting into Pokemon Go, hey, let's get Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow on the Virtual Console, or, you know, hey, let's get a 3DS and buy some of the games that are currently out, but... I'm sure Nintendo's got to be thinking of, you know, some sort of strategy to get people that are on Pokemon Go to get the new ones. You know, if they can repeat, you know, some percentage of this Pokemon Go success into the Sun and Moon launch, oh, I mean, that's just going to be crazy.
Yeah, and they'd be crazy not to use Pokemon Go as
mm-hmm.
a way to, like, you know, raise awareness of their upcoming games or even of the games they have now. Like, there have been, like, I guess official and unofficial Pokemon Go, like, events around the world.
Yeah.
And to just use those, like, pair those with, you know, advertising for your game, and then, boom, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
You've definitely got something right there. And I think we'll definitely see... Hopefully Nintendo will take advantage of that, and like, and then whenever the next big con is, or the next big games event.
Yeah, we'll probably get our first solid glimpse of that, you know, leading up to the Sun and Moon launch. But I remember Nintendo talking about this strategy. Remember every time they would talk about mobile, they're like, you know, if we ever do mobile, or you know, now that we're doing mobile, we're going to have the products we do on mobile point to our, you know, dedicated gaming systems and the games for those. So, you know, we're kind of seeing the first examples of that, and it seems to be going well. At least they've at least built up a good market on the mobile sector with Pokemon Go. So definitely bodes well.
Yeah, definitely a far stronger building than when Nintendo released Miitomo.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's had a lot more staying power, for sure.
And moving on a little bit further here, let's go over to sports.
Yeah.
EVO 2016 has just finished wrapping up on July 17th. Trying not to get specific, I almost said yesterday, but Nobody's not going to know who yesterday is because this is pre-recorded. So, just in case you were eager to hear the results, actually, before I say that, you know, I was going through some of these stories here. Some people were complaining about spoilers. So, just going to give you a warning right now. Spoilers, we're going to talk about who the winner is. 3, 2, 1, there you go. So, in sports news, Juan Hungrybucks Davy... Okay, sorry, I'm going to butcher this last name. Devyadama. No, wait. Devyadma. That's tough. Devyadma. I'm going to go with that. So, Juan Hungrybucks Devyadma took first place at EVO's 2016 Super Smash Bros. Melee Tournament, beating out Adam Armada Lindgren. So, and this is his first EVO win in his entire career, but he's actually been on a pretty good tear this year in 2016, with EVO 2016 being his sixth title win this year. And for those of you who don't follow, you know, maybe pro Melee wins, don't worry, it's not all Final Destination Fox only. HBox actually won with Jigglypuff. He won against a Fox using Jigglypuff.
That's amazing.
And if I remember right, I believe he's one of the only Jigglypuff players out there, or at least one of the, you know, top Jigglypuff players out there.
Interesting. Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I knew a lot of them were Fox, and so that's interesting that he was able to use Jigglypuff. I mean, I imagine that Jigglypuff, like Kirby, has, you know, pretty impressive recover moves. So, you know, I'm sure you could use that to your advantage. But I imagine the attack, you'd have to be, trying to pepper them with small attacks here and there, use your recover, fly away, and, you know, I don't know how his strategy works, but it's impressive.
I have not played Melee in probably over 10 years, pretty much because my disc is just, I've rendered that unreadable. Like, I've played it so much, sunk so many hours into that game that, you know, my GameCube just couldn't play the disc anymore.
Well, I guess that's a testament to how well it was made.
But if I remember, Jigglypuff's recovery is marginal at best. Because his only recovery is the jump, and I think his up B is to sing.
Right, yeah, so he doesn't have a secondary recover.
Right.
Yeah.
And Jigglypuff's a lightweight, so he can get knocked out pretty quickly.
Yeah. And he's not going to be doing a whole lot of damage per hit, percentage-wise.
Right.
Yeah, makes it even more impressive.
Absolutely. So congratulations to Hungrybucks there. There were, of course, a Pokken tournament also made an appearance at EVO 2016. I tried to look up the winners for that, couldn't find it anywhere. So congratulations to whoever you were. And finally, for Smash 4, or Smash for the Wii U, Ally took home the gold for that one. He's a Canadian, French-Canadian. You know, he's from Quebec, so I gotta say French, Canada. So he took home the gold there. So congratulations to him.
Nice.
So with that out of the way, that does it for news. Justin, thank you for joining me in this news segment.
No problem.
And for those of you listening, please stay tuned to segment 2, where we talk about our impressions of Pokemon Go. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Koopa Cast. I am joined in this segment by Trevor Gould.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening.
And Alex Schramke.
Howdy, folks.
And we may get a fourth in here, Justin Sharp, but we'll see what happens. In this segment, we're going to talk about the hot new mobile app that has taken the world by storm, Pokemon Go. And I don't think I used hyperbole in any part of that sentence.
Nope, it pretty much is a phenomenon. I've been playing for the past couple of days, and I live in a small town, yet I've seen groups of people walking around with their phones trying to catch them all.
It's funny, my wife really got a kick out of it. We were kind of in the middle of nowhere too, really. And this car comes driving by and they start honking at us, and like three or four hands stick out the window and they're waving their phones. And she's like, oh, no way.
Awesome.
Everybody seems to know about it. Even friends of mine who have zero interest in gaming. They're all like, yeah, what's that Pokemon Go?
I definitely think almost everybody has it. Like, everybody's talking about it everywhere. And I can tell you some of the effects. Since this thing released in the US, Australia, and New Zealand on July 6th, Nintendo stocks have increased from $14,000 a share to $22,000.
Oh, yeah.
So, the biggest increase since 1983, if I remember right.
Is that right? I did not see that. I just kind of straight up looked at the stock.
Yeah, that's what they were reporting. It was 1983. It was the last time it jumped this high.
Wow, that's something else. Mm-hmm. I don't think even Miitomo could not accomplish that.
Mm.
That's the power of Pocket Monsters.
That is the power of Pokemon, definitely. That has a huge brand identity. But yeah, and you know, it came out, and everybody lit it up excitedly. And what was the first screen everybody saw?
Servers are down.
I'm sorry. The servers are down. And I thought that was going to kill Pokemon Go from the get-go. I thought it was going to like just completely stall the momentum that this app could have built up.
Yeah, it definitely was a lot of frustration, especially if you wanted to sign up using the your Pokemon Trainer Club account, because that took like an additional day and a half for them to get situated. So it's like, I wanted to log in, but I couldn't, even when the servers got back up finally. And just, it was a very, very frustrating launch.
Yeah, I got error messages for the first few times I tried. Either the servers being down, or sometimes it would just reset my phone. There's definitely some kinks to work out still.
Yeah, the best times in the first few days that I was able to get into Pokemon Go was at 4 in the morning before I go to work, and like 8 o'clock at night. Like, those were the only times I can get it. And I'm not going out in either of those times.
Oh, I totally did.
Well, you have a night job, so you can...
Nights, so that's easier. And my town, again, is very small and is well lit, so it's safe to walk at night. And I may have had the police ask me what I was doing. I showed them the phone. Like, oh, okay, whatever. But no problem.
Oh, really? Right? They did?
Yeah, they wanted to know what I was doing walking around in the middle of the night.
And that's happened to a lot of people. And I mean, I think all the cops have figured out, like, they must have all had some kind of, you know, notification, email, or something like that, flyer passed out. Hey, there's going to be a bunch of kids on their phones walking around randomly, waving their phones at cops. This is probably what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So they just gave me a good eye roll, and they just moseyed on, told me to be safe.
There you go. And for good reason. I mean, there was one of the stories that came out. It was like Missouri, I want to say, where there was somebody, like, reports of people using Pokemon lures at Pokestops. And, you know, for those who don't know what we're talking about in Pokemon Go here, first of all, get on the ball. Secondly, lures are kind of used at Pokestops to kind of attract, you know, different kinds of Pokemon, you know, to gather around, so people will go. They'll go to the places where the lures are, and they'll have, like, a better chance of catching these Pokemon, or for these Pokemon to show up. And, yeah, it was Missouri. I've actually got the press release right now from that. It says, just before 0200 hours this morning, we received a 911 for an armed robbery. The victim, a pedestrian nearby, described the occupants in the black BMW, blah, blah, blah. Officer stopped by. Occupant tried to discharge a handgun. Suspects were using the newly released Pokemon Go app, released in the United States on Wednesday. It tells the officers what Pokemon is. Yeah, so, you know, they used basically used that. And then, wow, it's just, they really got into talking about what Pokemon Go is.
Mm-hmm.
Using the geolocation feature of Pokemon Go, the robbers were able to anticipate the location and level of seclusion of unwitting victims.
It's sad that people would try to take advantage of that, but at the same time, you know, it's also like the game says, you got to be careful, you got to pay attention to your surroundings as well, you know.
Exactly.
If anybody's ever done like traditional like geocaching, you know, there's some, you know, spots that are isolated out of the way. You got to use good judgment,
mm-hmm.
too, you know. You know, maybe don't go alone. Maybe go at a better time of day. You know, things like that. Maybe break out your incense and just draw them to you. I don't know.
Just use your best judgment.
Yeah. Don't go walking out for Pokemon at 2 o'clock in the morning in downtown, wherever you're at. Mm-hmm. You know, just don't do it. You know, go back inside. The Pokemon will be there tomorrow. Maybe.
Possibly.
No promises.
Yeah, and for parents, if your kids, you know, have a phone that supports it, I mean, set some limitations. You know, make sure they, you know, don't abuse it, because, you know, like we've read, and that's not the only story. I mean, I've read some other things on like social media. I guess all press is good press in a way, but just be careful.
Yeah, have your younger kids playing groups if you can't supervise them. You know, there are ways to be safe and have fun with it, but now this is turning into a PSA.
Yeah, but, you know, if you do give your kids your phone with Pokemon Go, bring a charger, because your phone's going to die pretty quickly.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, it's a battery sucker.
One day I just did a really big Pokemon Go day, right? Like, I had a day off, and I had to go running anyway, so after I was going to go running, I went to play Pokemon Go, and I was at 100%, and like, I want to say 3 or 4 hours later, and I was in the park for a long time, I'll admit it, it was almost zero. It was like 15%, so it really just destroyed my battery.
I believe it. Well, how do you even run, though, using Pokemon Go? Because we were like slowly like pivoting around, like, that's why it was obvious we were playing it. When...
Well, I mean, I ran first for time. And did I kind of log it? And then I ran for fun using Pokemon Go. So it's like two different phases for me.
I see.
I guess they have those little wrist straps that you can mount your phone to your arm if you really wanted to run and play.
True. But yeah, I mean, yeah. Do you guys have like any? I mean, that's all the new stuff. Like, I was going to talk about, there's like a kid who discovered a body. I don't think I want to talk about that. Somebody's house was turned into a gym. I thought that was great. Since Pokemon Go uses data from a map that doesn't really exist anymore, like, they're using, like, there was a church when Pokemon Go came by and took the picture and recorded it as a church. Now it's somebody's house. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, what it was the original game developed by Niantic was called Ingress, and they basically used that map, even though it's slightly outdated. And so you have all these spots that may or may not exist anymore, and they're locating them as gyms or Pokestops. So that poor soul whose house is a gym.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because then there were pictures of that, and kids were like, or people were like, blocking his driveway with their cars, with their staring at their phones at the gym.
Yeah, that'd be terrible.
Yeah,
you gotta find a way to take advantage of that, like,
right? Like, he should become the gym leader of his own gym. Like, he, you know, get like 1,000 CP Pokemon and just, you know, dominate.
Have you also seen? I've seen a couple of stories that some of the Pokestops have been on like strip joints and stuff like that.
No, I have not seen that.
Yeah, I've seen that on a couple of social media posts. Like I said, just like all like these, you know, adult stores and and strip joints, and people are like, "So this is a family friendly game, huh?"
You gotta send me links to that. I want to see that, and I'll try to see if I can't put the links in on the KoopaCast page.
I'll see if I can dig it up. I saw it on, I think it was on Facebook yesterday.
Well, they did say that in terms of internet traffic, supposedly there's more searches for Pokemon Go than there is for pornographic material. So,
again, I suppose that says something. Pokemon. Got to find out where to get Mewtwo.
He's somewhere. Go over every nook and cranny for it. Has Pokemon Go like increased your like socializing with like your maybe your coworkers or just strangers in general?
For me, it has. Like I said, last night I did a quick a walk through town, and because somebody had put out a lure module, and so you know I cautiously approached. I checked out the area before I went to it, but I assessed that it was safe, and somebody else was down there. I'd never met them before in my town, so we just started talking for a while. And turned out that he had been playing Pokemon for a long time. We were talking about being excited for the new Sun and Moon games, and was a really nice guy.
How about you, Trev?
Well, I've really only had a chance to use it, well, twice, but really one day proper, and with the exception of that story I gave where the car drove by honking at us, waving their phones. That's all I had. But in fairness, we were kind of out of the way. I suspect as I take it out into, you know, town more populated areas, I'm more prone to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I do have friends that are only a few miles down the road from me. And I know that they said that when they were pulling into their house, they live by, you know, not directly by businesses, but kind of more in the center of town. And there was like a group clustered at the end of the road, kind of made them suspicious. And then they're like, oh, it dawned on them. It's Pokemon Go. So.
Yeah. As the days have gone by with Pokemon Go, the first couple of days I'd see people with their phones, like, you know, more than usual. And I go, are they or aren't they on Pokemon Go? Like, you know, maybe yes, maybe no. I wasn't sure. But now I'm like, I see somebody on their phone, and I go, yeah, they're on Pokemon Go. There's no other reason they're holding their phone up like they are.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see all these people doing that, like, how bizarre must that look to somebody who is not in Pokemon Go, or even knows that came out, just to see, like, all these people, like, not even just teenagers, but just everybody just, you know, walking, staring at their phone, and then just dead stop, and then flicking their screen with their finger, and then they keep walking again. Or they pull up their phone and they start spinning around.
Mm-hmm. It kind of control.
I was thinking about because yesterday marked 1 year since Satoru Iwata passed away, and I was wondering if he was, you know, still around, able to see this, you know, what he might have thought, because he was sort of a catalyst to get Nintendo into the mobile market, which I know they were hesitant as, but he sort of had that forward-thinking mentality, so. I would think he would have to smile, you know, seeing what you were describing.
I think he would, too. Especially since when he first came on as head of Nintendo, he kind of spearheaded the charge on GameCube to kind of change the way you have multiplayer. The Game Boy Advance Link cables. And there were a lot of multiplayer games that came out around that time, so I think just the idea of people meeting up and socializing and making new friends, you know, through Pokemon would definitely make him very happy.
Yeah, and man, and yeah, people are very so open about, you know, working together in Pokemon Go too. I could tell you, like, so the other day, like, when I was at this park, there was, you know, there's a Pokestop, and there's a bunch of people near the Pokestop. I already know they're playing Pokemon. I can see it. And, you know, they're talking stuff like that. And then just out of nowhere, one of them just yells out, Tentacruel! There's a Tentacruel this way! And, like, just a mass exodus of people just start walking towards this guy. And there's, like, a big, like, grouping of people. And I was like, wow. And, of course, I followed them because I want that Tentacruel, too. And we're all sitting on their phones. We're talking to each other. Like, anybody see? Anybody see it? Like, oh, I got two paw prints over here. And we're like loud and excited about it. Like, okay, this is actually really cool. Like, to see everybody like so open and enthusiastic about it.
Mm-hmm. It's almost surreal in a way, because it's like almost overnight, you know. I go from being like one of the few people I know who, you know, follows Pokemon and is generally excited about it. And now all of a sudden, everybody is talking about Pokemon just through this game. And I've got people who, you know, I would think would never give these games a shot. Or maybe in the past said, oh, you know, Pokemon's a kid's game. Now they're asking me like, oh, you know, I kind of want to get back into the games. Which one should I start with? You know, it's a very surreal experience.
And everybody's very nice about it, too. Like, oh, I haven't seen anybody, like, get into a fight over, like, oh, you got this Pokemon or whatever, you know. Nobody's like that. Nobody's hoarding information. Like, we're all just walking across each other and, like, stop at an intersection. I've got a phone. Somebody else has a phone. And I go, oh, you're looking for, you know, such and such? Well, if you go that way, you'll find them. Like, oh, thank you. And, you know, we keep walking. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, that's pretty cool.
I think it's kind of smart in a way, because by Nintendo and Niantic not really divulging much information about the game, like a lot of people are complaining, it's like, hey, it doesn't really give you a good tutorial.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, that kind of recreates the mystery and the intrigue of the original Pokemon Red and Blue games, because you kind of, you know, they gave you a little bit of a tutorial, but you had to get out there and you had to figure out, you know, okay, which ones are worth training, which ones you just want to add for your collection. And you've kind of recreated that feeling with Pokemon Go. You know, you walk up to your strangers and you'll talk and you'll share information. You're like, oh, well, you know, this is how the paw print feature works, you know, and you can share that information and maybe they know something. You know, it's like, oh, well, if you spin the Pokeball and throw it, you can get a curveball and it'll have a better chance of catching the Pokemon.
I thought it just gave more experience.
It does give you additional experience, but it also slightly improves your odds of catching said Pokemon.
Okay. Well, I've been throwing curveballs anyway. But
there's a way to spin them until like they glow and sparkle.
Yeah. And then
and if you do the sparkle, that's what that signifies, as well as getting more experience.
Awesome.
But yeah, it kind of just recreates that feeling of mystery and, you know, and going over to your friend or random stranger and sharing information about and discovering the game together that the original spirit of Pokemon had.
Yeah, this game really reeks of just discovery and just discovering through strangers and friends and, you know, and just those experiences. Like, that's what Pokemon Go is to me. It's like a game of experiences.
There's a definite sense of community. It sort of, in a way, reminds me of like an expanded version of when I first got 3DS and I would get Street Pass tags. And it's like, oh, nice. You know, there's all these people that are, you know, playing their 3DS. But now I don't have to wait till I get home and just see like a random avatar. Now I'm actually, you know, we have the potential to see people face to face enjoying, you know, a hobby that we've been enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've talked a lot about how awesome the experience of the game is. But we haven't had a lot of time. We haven't talked about the game itself yet. Which, if we're really honest, like the bare bonesness of this game, technically, it's not that really impressive.
No.
But the server's down. You know, the battle system's kind of weird. Sometimes the game will crash.
Yeah, it's still glitchy. I mean, I've been seeing a lot of reports of people having, they'll get a good catch and then, you know, it'll conk out or they'll spend money and then something will happen. You know, not to mention there's still a lot of regions that haven't gotten the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're hearing us complain and they're like, well, at least you get a chance to play it. We haven't gotten it.
I'm going to blame Miyamoto, because when they sprang that July launch date on Niantic at E3, it kind of felt like it was a surprise to them.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
Feel like they weren't, like they wanted more time to iron things out. And so it honestly just feels like, oh, it's like, we gotta get this game out so we can get the hype for Pokemon, you know, in time for the holiday rush. when the new games come out. But I think they wanted more time with it.
Mm. Oh, certainly. I feel like I've had some glitchy battles. I don't know if you guys experienced that, where I've taken down somebody, or like I've taken down a Pokemon, and they're still not going down, and they're still taking pot shots at me, and they got like a little sliver of health. I'm like, I know he's dead, but he's still hurting me.
Oh yeah, that's very frustrating.
Yeah,
I've had that happen multiple times. I've
also Do they really die though? Pokemon don't really die, right?
They faint.
Yeah, they faint, and then you have to go find a revive somewhere.
But I've also had when you throw a Pokeball, and it'll do the animation for it shaking, and the screen will zoom in, and then just the game will freeze. And the only thing to do is you know, close the game out and reboot it back up. And sometimes, you know, the Pokemon will be caught, and sometimes you'll just waste a Pokeball, and then it's gone. And yeah. That is very frustrating, especially when it's one that you haven't seen before and you want to put it in your Pokedex and then the game freezes.
Yeah. It's just like, That's how my Tentacruel story ended, where one guy caught it. The Tentacruel bailed on me, and everyone else's phones just froze.
Oh.
So that thing did not want to go down. Mm-mm. But yeah. I mean, that was pretty much like those freezes are the biggest things. Mm-hmm. And I think I speak for everybody where I want to, you know, battle other people's Pokemon. And there's no reason this technology shouldn't exist for this mm-hmm. game.
And to me, that's where like the feature of this app lies. Because right now, yeah, it's a phenomenon and people are really enjoying it. But eventually that's going to wear off. And there you're going to see like the user base like drop off very heavily. So like, you know, right now I say it's a good app and I enjoy it despite its bugs, but how long is it going to keep me coming back? You know, we know we're going to be able to trade Pokemon with other people. That feature is coming, but we need to be able to have like trainer battles that don't take place in the gym and things like that. I think if they can implement those, it'll keep me coming back to the game, and I can say, yeah, this is a good game because of that.
Yeah, there's definitely that question mark of how long is it gonna... because, I mean, Miitomo started good too, certainly not to Pokemon Go levels, but, mm-hmm. you know, that was a big thing, and, you know, for the first few weeks, it seemed well, and then there just wasn't enough to maintain interest, and you know, to some extent, I mean, even I'm thinking like with the original Wii, it attracted those casual gamers and like the first 3 years of the system, it was insane. And then as that generation ended, the Wii kind of ended with a whimper because there was that drop off. So they need to find a way, you know, past the first month or two to keep those who were curious interacting with the program.
And that's kind of the pitfalls with developing for the mobile market, I think, is you can have a great idea like this, but due to the nature of the market with things always coming out, you know, this is how do you keep your players coming back is the biggest question you have to solve.
And Justin Sharp has now joined us for this KoopaCast. Welcome, Justin.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And Justin, we kind of briefed you on the behind the scenes there. How about what we're talking about? So if you want to go ahead and start weighing on your opinions on kind of the game itself of Pokemon Go.
Yeah, well, I haven't played a whole lot of it so far. But while I was on vacation last week, I was like, well, I got to download it, at least check it out. And we happened to be near the beach, so there was several water Pokemon that I got to see and catch, so that was kind of cool. But it was kind of interesting. I found whenever I wanted to play the game, like, you know, later that evening when we weren't out walking around, I didn't really find much to do. Like, you basically had to go to these various spots in order to do much in the game. And so I was like, well, I guess I'm done for the day until I go out again. So I don't know. I haven't found a whole lot that's hooking me back into the game. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where it goes.
And there were some complaints by other people about Pokemon Go, like some of the more, you know, suburban areas, maybe more country areas. They're complaining they don't have things like the Pokestops or the gyms nearby. And that's certainly a valid concern. Currently where I'm living, there's not a lot. Like, I can't just step outside and, you know, there's like 12 Pokestops or anything like that. And I'd have to like really go maybe a mile out to find some action. Otherwise I would just have to drive somewhere. So yeah, that's my experience for me.
Yeah, it's similar here in our neighborhood. There's actually a park that's about a mile or two away, and it actually has a Pokemon gym and a couple of Pokestops. But otherwise, in our immediate vicinity in the neighborhood, I would have to drive somewhere in order to go to a stop.
It's odd because it seems like hit or miss, because I live in a fairly small town, yet it's a pretty popular tourist destination. So I have just down the road, I can just take my car down the road, park on the side, and just go walk downtown. I have probably 3 or 4 gyms in my town and about 12 Pokestops.
Wow, yeah. So
it's really odd how like they pick and choose these things. It just seems very haphazard. And hopefully they'll get in there and update these maps and help out people who are maybe in more secluded areas, because without all those things, you know, it's like, what's the point of playing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look, another Rattata. You know, and you get bored and you move on.
I was reading about certain like businesses or whatever that kind of regretted that they weren't prone to having Pokemon because they liked the foot traffic. They kind of were hoping to embrace it more. And at the same token, too, there's some spots, like I was reading, I forget where, I think it was from the Holocaust Museum, where they were saying, you know, it's really not an appropriate place to be playing Pokemon Go, you know, given, you know, what we're doing here. So, you know, there's some that want it, some that don't, and I'm sure it's going to be ironed out in the course of time.
I certainly hope so. Because there was somebody else complaining about, like, the Pokemon Go being at a graveyard or something. Like, you know, stop playing Pokemon Go over my daughter's grave. And it's like, wow, that's kind of that's kind of dark. Like, that's something I never thought of.
Yeah.
But then again, I never thought to... What's that?
Also, it's easy to get carried away in it, but, you know, you also have to use your discretion, you know. Like, some of these places and landmarks, they still deserve your respect and attention.
Yeah, but that's something Niantic should have done themselves. You know, maybe we shouldn't put, you know, some Pokestops at a graveyard. Maybe we shouldn't put a gym over somebody's grave.
I do give them credit, though, because I remember we were walking and there was one and I said, wow, that's in somebody's yard. I'm not going to walk in a stranger's yard. But yet it let me, you know, flick from the street to get it. So at least in that respects, not that I've had a lot of experience, but it seems like it's fairly, there's some leeway there.
Yeah. Like, you have like a little radar ring that pulsates around your character. So you don't have to be right on top of the said place to be able to activate it. I think maybe some people don't realize that you don't have to be right on top of the landmark in order to get it.
Yeah. The only other issue is with the AR camera. And if you don't turn that off, sometimes you don't know where the Pokemon is and you have to spin around a couple times. And, you know, sometimes you could be spinning your phone into somebody's restaurant or somebody's house or a playground.
I found myself primarily playing without the AR. I was kind of like, it's just going to eat up more of my battery and it's just going to make the Pokemon look like it's floating someplace where it shouldn't 9 times out of 10. So I almost always play with the AR off.
I still have the AR on. So I don't know what it looks like with the AR off. We're like, what does it look like? What do you describe the scene?
They have like nice little rendered scenes. Like, if it's nighttime and you're walking in like a place they would designate as a forest, it just looks like a, you know, nightfall and it's a little forest area and leaves will fall. It looks like a scene that would be like a battle scene from one of the games.
I haven't actually been able to use the AR because, and that reminded me, it won't actually recognize the camera on our phone. I don't know if that's a glitch per se, or there's just some quirk we're not picking up on, but I've only played it without so far, which is kind of upsetting, because I would like to be able to, you know, post a goofy photo on Twitter or, you know, something like that, or even on Pure Nintendo. So hopefully I'll get it fixed or figure out exactly why that is.
I could tell you, there's one feature I really wish Pokemon Go had, and that is the ability for it to work while the screen is off. Because this is something I was going to talk about before. Justin kind of popped on. He threw me off there.
Sorry.
Nice. Throw him under the bus.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Can't take the heat. Get out of the CooperCast.
Okay. We're a team here, folks.
Season 4 is getting rough.
But the another mechanic we haven't talked about on Pokemon Go is that you can get these eggs maybe at Pokestops, and these eggs you have to hatch by putting them in an incubator, and you walk from anywhere between like 2 kilometers to 10 kilometers. It'll say on each egg whether it's 2, 5, or 10. The more rare ones are, of course, are 10 kilometers, and the common ones are 2 kilometers. But if the phone is not on the screen of Pokemon Go and it is not active, it is not going to record your steps at all. And I tested that out on Thursday. I ran for like a mile. The screen was off. I came back on. I still had the same amount of progress.
Oh, those feels, man.
Yeah, so yeah. That's I mean, we all have multitasking tools in our pockets. I don't understand how they could not figure out how to make Pokemon Go multitask.
I think at the very least, even if the GPS isn't active when your phone is in that sleep mode, the pedometer, which is what they use in the first place to keep track of your mileage, that should be active. I don't think that would eat up too much of your battery life. Just for that reason, so you can hatch your eggs with the phone off if you're going on a jog or something.
Yeah. And for me, that also begs the question, like, what's the point of the Pokemon Go Plus? Isn't that, like, so you don't have to stare at your phone and, like, it'll let you know when there's a Pokemon nearby?
Yeah, it'll, like, flash colors and let you know when a Pokemon is nearby, and you'll push a button to launch the Pokeball or whatever, and it'll flash to tell you if you caught it or not. And that's all well and good, but it's like, well, if you're have to have the phone on and staring at it, what, you know, what's the point? You might as well just do it yourself.
Yeah, if you have the phone on, you're likely to have the phone out as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that leads me to believe that maybe there's something specific to your phone, Matt, that maybe is blocking the background app updates, perhaps. Because, yeah, I'm pretty sure with that Pokemon Go Plus that they don't, you wouldn't have the phone screen on, but maybe you have to have that to enable that. I don't know.
Well, $35, I mean, for the privilege, you know, or
yeah, well, seems kind of silly to lock it behind that, you know, because a big part of the game to me would be walking around and getting notifications regardless of whether you have the screen on the whole time or not.
Well, I've had the same experience with eggs not tracking mileage with the phone off, so.
That's interesting.
I don't know what phone you have, Matt. I have an iPhone 6.
Yeah, I have a 6 as well.
Okay.
Yeah, but even not even just notifications for Pokemon nearby, just track my steps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're
not asking for much.
Yeah, I'm not asking for anything. I'm just asking for that. That's all I want. Like my running app, I can turn my phone, you know, turn the screen off and run with it, and that tracks just fine. And that's basically using, you know, GPS technology. So, you know, why can't Pokemon Go?
So you just need to put your Wii Fit meter in one pocket, your 3DS in sleep mode in the other pocket, and then they got to find a way where you can transfer that data.
My Wii Fit Plus pedometer is either destroyed into oblivion or is somewhere in a lost and bin found, or lost and bin at E3.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah.
That's right. My Wii Fit pedometer met its fate in the washing machine. I left it in my pants pocket.
Wow. That happened to mine too. Mm-hmm. I tried the race thing, didn't work.
Oh. See, with all this technology we have to carry around now, I think it's time for the fanny pack and we could come back, you know.
Oh, I would love that.
Stored right in the front. I still got my original black one with the hot pink letters that say Game Boy. That's where I used to carry my Game Boy around in all my games. I gotta be able to bust that puppy out again.
All right, before we start running a little bit long, let's get a final yay or nay opinion of Pokemon Go. I'm going to start with you, Alex. Pokemon Go, up or down, you will see room for improvement?
I'm going to say yay. It's fun. It encourages me to get outside, which is something I need to do to be more healthy. It has its problems, but I can see them ironing it out in the future. I just hope there's more content to keep me coming back. But so far, yay.
Trevor?
I'll say yay at the moment. I hope that because the whole goal with the mobile applications, Nintendo said, this is paraphrased, but it was a bridge basically to draw people to their consoles. So I'd like to see, like when Sun and Moon get near launch, I'd like to see Pokemon Go advertise that. So all these millions of people that are playing it say, hey, let's go check out the 3DS. That might come in time, but yeah, for the moment, I give it a yay.
All right, Justin.
For me personally, I would say it's a bit disappointing. It's a bit of a nay for me. Not that I wasn't really on like the super hype bandwagon for Pokemon Go anyway. I've always been more excited about the Sun and Moon, but I don't know. There's not a whole lot for me to keep coming back to. A lot that's compelling, you know, maybe eventually add some stuff, but right now it's just not something I see myself using.
All right. And for myself, I say yay. I definitely agree with everybody's points and just what we need to improve, especially the GPS thing. Like I talked about, you know, let me turn the screen off. Don't charge me $34 for a bracelet that that does the same thing as my phone already does. I mean, the music, I think the music's, yeah, it kind of grinds on me after a little while. Yeah, that's just my thing. The battles could use tweaking, but I'm saying all these negatives, and yet I like it because it's just the experience that it gives, you know, just people outside, just strangers talking to each other and, you know, gathering together and just like, oh, did you hear about this? Like, you hear all these rumors and stuff like that. Like, oh, there's a Magmar town if you go down the road this way a few miles. And it's like, oh, really? I'm going to go check that out. Like, that's really awesome. That experience is awesome. And that's why I say yay on Pokemon Go right now. I'm not going to ask you guys if Pokemon Go has any lasting power. Instead, what I'm going to do is we're going to come back to this about a month down the line, maybe a month or two down the line, and I'm going to talk to you about your experiences. You know, do you still have it even? So I expect to see you all here in a month. In the meantime, I want to thank you all for joining me, Trevor, Alex, and Justin.
Anytime.
It was fun.
And I would also like to thank you, the listener, for tuning into another KoopaCast this week. If you have a question for the KoopaCast, you can always email us at podcast@purenintendo.com. You can also talk to us on Twitter. I am @purely_Matt. Justin is @purely_Justin. Trevor is @trev_G1. And Alex is @AlexTramke. And all of us together are @purenintendo. So, if you want to hear more of the KoopaCast, you can always take a look at purenintendo.com/podcast. If you want to take a look at our RSS feed, it's purenintendo.com/feed/podcast. And for those of you who want to find it on iTunes, just go to iTunes and look up the KoopaCast. And finally, for more news, reviews, and features, please check out purenintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. And we'll see you next time.